Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. I'm your host Matthew, and today we're going to be talking about, and I guess posing the question of, what is wrong with Manchester City? They've now lost, I believe it's 9 out of their last 12 results. I should have got their results up before I started. Let me do that now. Very curious, very interesting. Not start to the season. They started the season actually okay. So if we go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Because this started away against Tottenham, didn't it? So 12 results, 2 draws, 1 win, and 9 defeats. Just to be clear with this podcast, I don't have like an answer. I'm not going to give you like an answer. I'm just posing a question and talking about this situation. I'll tell you where I'm going to start this off, actually. Rather than just talking about how kind of funny and interesting this is, I noticed something that I'm not really seeing a lot of people talk about. Now, after they won their fourth league title in a row, and obviously picked up a treble the season before that, so on the third of the four in a row. They had what I would only describe as a very cocky transfer window. They sold Julian Alvarez, who is their only striker backup option to Erling Haaland. I don't think they signed maybe a few other players in the summer, and then just kind of got on with things. And it felt like a very cocky transfer window in the way of, oh, we can just sell Alvarez. We're not going to replace. They got 80 million for him, which is very good. He's a very, very good player. And then just didn't replace him because I guess we've got Haaland and we don't need anything else. So obviously that was after their fourth league title win in a row. Obviously all the thing is with this anyway, is all of it kind of okay, four league titles in a row, you win a treble, you don't do those things by accident or by luck or by chance. Obviously there's gonna be a bit of luck in football. There's gonna be a percentage of that. But all of that was in the shadow of the 115 anyway. But even if we push that to the side and look at, okay, Pep as a manager and these players, one of the kind of points of contention that have continued coming up is, oh, we don't have Rodri. Now, okay, I understand one of your very, very important players, and probably one of your best players, is out injured. And that's obviously going to have a massive, massive effect. So you're telling me that one player gets injured. Granted, like Rodri's a phenomenal footballer in terms of his position, the CDM role. He's probably the best in the world at doing that. So I understand that player's a very, very big loss. But if you connect the two things I've just said together, right, like, you got rid of your backup option for Haaland, didn't replace him. Haaland has stopped scoring. And I think, what was it, Calvin Phillips? They brought Gundogan back, which was interesting. They had Calvin Phillips. From what I understand, they don't really, excuse me, they don't really have anybody kind of good enough in that position to replace Rodri. Now I understand, like, okay, if we had, I mean, we've had so many Man United, we've had so many injuries anyway. I don't know where to start compared to last season, of course, with the injuries and whatnot. But it's interesting. Okay, I'll put this flat out there, right? You've moaned about a few injuries, Man City fans. Like, okay, we've had a few players out injured, is what they've kind of said. And obviously Rodri's a very, very big one. It's what, like 7, 8 months he's out for. It's basically the rest of the season. Man United last season had 16 different combinations of the back four last season. 16 different combinations. We had a defensive midfielder at centre back, we had a centre back at left back, we had a centre back at right back. We've had all of those things at once. We had those players switching around and switching around and switching around. We had Victor Lindelof at left back at one point last season, and then the Casemiro wildly out of form at centre back. That's what you call a depleted team. Not in the way of, okay, our main striker ain't scoring, oops, we got rid of our replacement because we were so cocky that we thought we didn't need one, I guess. And then, because I mean, I know the Man City squad. I don't know who's supposed to be the Rodri replacement when he's not there. But what it felt like was, oh, we don't need one. We're so good that we can just deplete our squad and just keep winning. Well, it's fallen apart now, hasn't it? The one thing I also really disagree with is like, from both sides in terms of like, oh, so suddenly Pep just kind of can't work his magic anymore. Okay, why not? And then it comes down to, oh, we got injuries again. I'd like to remind you all of the players that you have got out on the pitch, which is people like Foden, Haaland. You've still had people like De Bruyne, Gundogan, Doku, Grealish. I know your defence hasn't been very good. And Walker's obviously getting worse. But it's also, aside from your team selection, which I don't think is an excuse because you've still had plenty of world-class players, is because I haven't watched like a lot of these games, these last 12 games. Obviously, I watched the one that we beat them in, the 2-1 that the Etihad. And whether it was the FA Cup final, the Community Shield final, which they did win, or when we just played them at the Etihad, in all three games, pretty much, especially the most recent Premier League game, they just looked very, very lost, which is what we do. But we haven't got as good as a team as you. I like a lot of our, obviously, Man United players, but we've obviously got different issues and stuff. But, like, when you can still put on paper, Pep Guardiola is still there. And you've still got a mostly world-class team that's just won 4 league titles in a row, and in the midst of that, a treble. And then your team, which is mostly the same. Again, I know Rodri is a very big miss. Just looks very lost. There's something else going on there. Maybe it's a combination of, okay, Pep starting not believing in himself, the team's not believing in him, there's maybe dressing room fallout. It can be a bit of a domino effect when that kind of thing happens. The reason I will not, I mean, I don't think there's any excuse, personally, because Pep's supposed to be this magical, like, greatest manager of all time, which I wouldn't put him in that conversation. I'm not going to explain why here, because it'll take too long. I did do a curious case of Pep Guardiola episode. I'll try and remember to link it in the show notes. but no, for various different reasons, I don't think that he is. And then you've still got mostly your same squad. I just don't, the sudden kind of, oh my god, we've suddenly lost 9 out of your last 12 games. I'm sorry, but if this wasn't Pep, and or this wasn't City, he would be sacked today. Or probably sacked a couple of weeks ago. Just like with Erik ten Hag at the start of this season, when things started falling apart, we got some draws, some losses, and things just weren't picking up. Eventually, you've got to cut your losses and move on. As much as I did like Erik ten Hag as a manager, if you go, right, well, look at these results, this is unsustainable, which it was, you have to cut and run. You have to go. And it is actually quite wild to me that, okay, Pep, greatest manager of all time, 4 league titles in a row, and then another 2, like, before that, apart from the 2020 season, the Liverpool one, because it's like 6 out of the last 7 or whatever. So 6 out of the last 7, and he's got 6 Premier League titles, and he's done like, I think, a domestic quadruple and a treble, and now he's done, excuse me, now he's done 4 in a row, all this kind of stuff. Like, greatest manager of all time and this kind of thing. And now you suddenly have this. The one other reason I won't kind of, like, give a pass for this. Now, I don't know the complete accurate financials of every single football club in the world. Obviously, you've got people like PSG, you've got people like Barcelona who are in a lot of debt, but they've pulled a lot of levers and stuff. You've got obviously all the Saudi teams with loads of money. I think it's fair to say, because obviously Real Madrid, they naturally make a lot of money, but they're also very, very well run. It's not necessarily because if their owners are rich or not or whatever, they're just a naturally very well run club. So you've got them kind of in the mix as well as like one of the best teams in the world. When you want to use the excuse of like, oh, we've got injuries, and it's basically okay, you might have a few here and there, a few players out here and there. It's mainly Rodri. Just admit it. It's mainly because Rodri's out. And then you look at Pep, supposedly the greatest of all time, all this kind of stuff, right? Manchester City, I think in my lifetime, which started in 94, is probably the most financially backed football team I've ever seen. So, because that's honestly, I do think it started, because obviously they didn't start the season poorly, but I think the reason for it was, or where this has started from, I do think is from their summer transfer window, because it was so cocky. Okay, who is your Rodri replacement? Who is your Haaland replacement? I think they looked at Haaland and thought, okay, you got 36 goals, we don't need Alvarez. It's like, why don't you just have both? Yeah, why can't you just like have both of them? Because they have thinned their squad down quite a bit. They got rid of Sterling, they got rid of they lost Sané a few years ago. Who else did they lose? Obviously Aguero left and I think eventually retired. That was in the other squad. There was a few other people as well. There was like Fernandinho, all those kinds of people. There was a couple of other wingers that they had that I can't quite remember the names of, but Leroy Sané was a big one. Amarez as well. He was a fantastic player. And you've thinned your squad down, and I think you've thinned your squad down because you think you didn't need the rest of it. It's like, oh yeah, we can just keep putting Haaland on the pitch and we'll just win everything. Well, now you've lost 9 out of your last 12 games. So, personally, I think this is absolutely hilarious, just on the basis of how unbelievably. I mean, you can celebrate your success. Obviously, I've done that when Man United were more successful, or when we won the FA Cup in the summer and all that kind of stuff, right? You're allowed to do that. But when you do this and you get cocky, it's good to see this happen, especially just considering what Manchester City are as a football club. But yeah, I just yeah, I think this started from the summer transfer window, and then obviously Rodri was a big hit. But you've got more than enough money. You've literally got more than enough money that has caused you to have these 115 charges. That's how financially backed you've been, that you've broken the rules, a lot of times and for a very long period of time, and that only goes up to 2018. Just a little reminder. We don't, within the midst of the treble, the four in a row, and some of the other two league titles, I think it sort of started from there. We don't even know what Man City have been doing in that period of time. Because the charges only go from, was it 2009 to 2018? So from 2018 onwards, we don't know how many more rules City might have broken. So, yeah, very, just, I almost feel like, whether it's from watching them on the pitch or just witnessing the scorelines, I feel like a kind of David Attenborough sort of looking at nature of like, this creature was doing so well, it was thriving, it was the king of the animal kingdom. Now it's just getting beaten and torn up every week. What the hell's going on? I don't know. Like, it's been interesting to see, because you can tell things from like, tone, body language, that kind of stuff. To see how Pep's been in the press conferences, because the cockiness there is certainly gone as well. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Going back to one of my earlier points that I slightly drifted off from, with all the talk about Pep, greatest ever, four in a row, treble, and all that kind of stuff, right? Yeah, with all those kinds of conversations, it's just interesting to see kind of Like, what is, I don't really, because I don't really quite understand, like, okay, how has Pep lost this kind of magic?
Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right-hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcasts and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for two episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch two episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's fascinating from both sides, from the players and from the manager, because the players, when I have seen them in, whether it's been in highlights or games I have watched of them, they've just looked lost. And that's very un-Man City-like. Yeah. But just to kind of finalize this with a few points, you've been the most financially backed team I've ever seen. In terms of like, oh no, these players are injured. Well, you've had literally almost too much money, you could say, to replace these people. Like, you should, for a big world-class team like Man City, the big bad Man City, you should have someone who's almost equally, I mean, saying equally as good as Rodri is very difficult. He's a phenomenal footballer. You should have somebody who's adequate enough or good enough in that position. Because there's thousands of footballers in the world. You're telling me you just didn't bother? You just didn't bother to have, 'cause I remember once when City, I think it was last season or the season before, and they were playing somebody like mid-table, I think it was. And I remember I saw this screenshot of, or this picture, screenshot, whatever, of their bench, and it had, I'm pretty sure it had like Mahrez, Haaland. Don't know if Alvarez was on there. They had like Bernardo Silva was on there. I think De Bruyne was on there. And the question was like, how do you compete with this? I can't remember who they had on the pitch, but a lot of their like starting 11, I remember Haaland was on the bench, was on there. And it's like, okay, if you've got this on your bench and you're winning on the pitch still, how do you compete with that? And I remember responding to that tweet and I said, you end up with 115 charges. I just don't think there's any excuse for, like, again, Rodri, very big player missing. That's obviously going to be a very big thing. Who's your replacement? You got Gundogan back. Are you telling me you need a midfield of Rodri, Gundogan, Foden, and Silva? Do you know how good that midfield is? Especially even just Rodri and Gundogan together, or even just them, one of them on their own. Because as much as people praise Rodri, and he is a phenomenal footballer, like I said, Gundogan's phenomenal as well. And then you've got Foden doing his thing, you've got Doku doing his thing, then you've got Bernardo Silva just casually thrown in there as well. And I haven't even mentioned Kevin De Bruyne. So you've still got a midfield. Let's say you take Rodri out of the situation, because that's the whole thing, right? It's like, okay, Rodri's out, this is bad, we've got defensive injuries and whatever, right? You still have Kevin De Bruyne, Gundogan, Foden, Grealish, Doku. I'm just thinking of their midfielders and their wide players. Let me start again. De Bruyne, Gundogan, Foden, Doku, Grealish, Silva. Who's the other one I just mentioned? That's like seven players, and you don't. I don't think they use that many at once. You got the issue that De Bruyne is getting a little bit older as well. I still think he's a phenomenal footballer as well. Most of your team is phenomenal in terms of the squad. That's why it is so weird that this is happening. It's like, okay, again, okay, Rodri's out. Okay, we get it. But why do Manchester City Football Club not have a replacement of someone like that? I mean, Calvin Phillips was never going to be that player. But, because he's nowhere near, I don't think he's even very good anyway. And he's like on the bench at West Ham or something now. But yeah, what's, I don't know. I just don't, again, I don't have an answer to this. My only kind of, okay, where I think this started from, honestly, is from the summer transfer window. And you just had a very cocky kind of, hey, yeah, we don't need any more players. Which technically you shouldn't, because you've already got a very phenomenal squad. But when you keep winning, you got to keep adding, you got to keep evolving, and you got to keep going for the best talent in the world. And this summer they just didn't really do that, and they started the season well, and it was all thought of like, oh, here we go, number five in a row, and that's that. So I think that's where it started. But in terms of where you had a cocky summer transfer window, started the season well. Okay, Rodri got injured. Okay, we get it. Rodri got injured, and then gone on this run of form. There's something else there, and it may just again be a domino effect of like Pep losing some of his magic, players maybe not being in form, fall out from the dressing room, and then that just has a domino effect, and you just keep losing and losing and losing and losing. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. But hey, the magic of Pep Guardiola, he can figure it out, right? He's the quote unquote best of all time. Just a reminder that for those people that took the piss out of Erik ten Hag, because okay, he did lose some bad games, he never did this. Erik ten Hag was never this bad. He never lost 9 out of 12. Sir Alex Ferguson, who is still the best of all time, never did anything anywhere near this bad. So yeah. I guess you guys have got to figure out. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you just don't figure it out and we'll keep laughing at you for the rest of the season. I would quite enjoy that, I think, actually, because I'm quite enjoying this now. And what I'm also enjoying is just seeing these pundits who clearly have a bias for Man City dance around like, oh, injuries, oh, this isn't going on. It's like, no, there's just call it what it is. Can someone also point out that, not to pick on Jack Grealish, but because he hasn't been pointed out at all, £100 million player. Right, who I never really rated, by the way, even when he was at Aston Villa, Jack Grealish. He hasn't scored in 40, I think it's 46 games. No one's talking about that. But apparently Rashford's much worse. I don't know. Anyway, all right, you can get involved as always by using the information in your show notes. You can support us, entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platforms, TV, games, films, main night podcast. Let me know what you think of this Manchester City situation. And, there's usually this consensus of like, okay, once they get to January, February, and they start picking up wins, they win like 20 odd games in a row. That could still happen. I don't want to write that off because that is almost, it's almost traditional at this point. You couldn't currently see that happening, could you? Because January is right around the corner because we only have just over a week left of December. Because they usually do that. They fall like 10 or so points behind, and then they just win about 15 league games in a row and win the title. Do you think that they'll do that? I'm going to lean more towards no at this point, but I'm not going to sit here and say, like, no, they will definitively not do that because then, could have egg on my face kind of thing. Anyway, City keep losing. It's funny. They have. Okay, they got Everton at home next. That is on Boxing Day. Everton at home. Surely not. Surely you've got to win that game. Right? Surely you've got to win that game. Everton at home. The big bad Manchester City, four in a row, 6 out of 7 titles, treble winners, all this flashy stuff. Because the one win that they did get out of those 12 was Nottingham Forest at home, which I looked at and thought, again, surely not. Not to put Nottingham Forest down, they're a very good team. They've beaten us a few times. But now we're talking about Everton at the Etihad. Can Manchester City do it? If they win that, I don't know what happens from there. Then they got Leicester away, who are in very bad form, and they got West Ham at home. And West Ham have got like an interesting history against West Ham at the Etihad. So those are their next three games. And then Salford at home in the FA Cup. That would be hilarious if they lose that. Anyway, there's a chance there from the next couple of fixtures. Everton, Leicester, West Ham, Salford, and away to Brentford could be difficult. Away to Ipswich could be difficult. But one last question to leave you all with. This Thursday, Boxing Day, Manchester City at the Etihad. The big bad Etihad, which is... I'm not going to actually cough because I've done too much of that recently. Which is cough, cough, always full. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Definitely not the empty head. Everton at the Etihad. Can they beat Manchester City? You'd think surely not, right? Surely not. Not this one. Not Everton at the Etihad. We shall see. Anyway, thanks for listening. And I'm still not up for doing like full outros right now. And I will see you next time. Goodbye.